So in lesson two, that's basically covering 1 Kings 15. So in our last class, we started on lesson two, and we saw that Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, had died. And his son, Abijam, or Abijah, how we'll see, it states it in 2 Chronicles, he took his place as king over Judah. And it shows that he became the king in the 18th year of Jeroboam, who was the king of Israel. And because remember, we just, in our first lessons, we just looked at Jeroboam and Rehoboam. So now we're talking about Abijam. And like I said, he became king in the 18th year of Jeroboam. And we'll see that Abijam or Abijah only reigned 3 years. And we also see, or we saw, that he followed the footsteps of his father, Rehoboam. And we spoke a little bit about that. In verse 3, it said that he walked in all the sins of his father, which he had committed before him. So, just something to point out, fathers. You know, what are we teaching our children? And it's not limited to fathers, but we can see that from here. This example, or what it states here, was his actions, how he lived, how he walked, what that taught. So, because it even stated in the end of verse 3, it said that, speaking of Abijam, said he walked in all the sins of his father which he had committed before him. So that is all the sins that Rehoboam had done before him. This example that he had set, this bad example. So he had witnessed these things. And so you could say he followed his dad's example in these things. So just something for us to think about. What is our example? What do our actions show? What are we teaching our children? Maybe not necessarily by word, but by deed and action. So we also noted that there was a contrast in verse 3. It said that, like we just saw, he walked like his physical father, Rehoboam. But it also says that he didn't follow the other example, and that was his father, David. And it uses that terminology. In this verse, we have two different things being spoken of. We have the physical father, his example. And then in this case, it spoke of David, which was referring to his example and how he followed God. And because remember, he's in the dynasty of David. But we also will see verses that are similar to this that are going to say similar things about Jeroboam. They're going to say that these kings followed in the footsteps of their father Jeroboam, and they might not necessarily be talking about a physical father. Most of the time not. They're talking about his example, and the example that Jeroboam set forth, and these things that he did that veered away from God's will. So just keep that in mind. We will see these type of terminologies throughout as we go. So in this case, it said that he followed his father's footsteps and did not follow the example of David. Now, Abijam, we see in, like we just said, that he followed the footsteps of Rehoboam, and he was mostly a bad king. But we do see something, and we did look at some of this in 2 Chronicles 3. And that is not 3. That should be 13. 2 Chronicles 13. Where we do see that there was a time in this example here that he looks to God for help. You might remember he was going up against Jeroboam, and he was outnumbered. I mean, basically 2-1, because he had 400,000 soldiers, but Jeroboam had 800,000 soldiers. And we remember that Jeroboam strategically placed his men in front of and behind Abijam's army. So, statistically, if you will, Jeroboam, but this didn't come down to numbers or skill or lore. This came down to trust in the Lord. Second Chronicles 13:18. Thus the sons. It says, thus the sons did because they trusted in the Lord, the God of their fathers. So they conquered in 1 Kings, back in Kings, in 1 Kings 15. Abijam dies. Okay. And we were looking at Ananta as well. And that was Abijam's son. And in 1 Kings 15, in the 20, says, the text tells us that we're in the 20, when he becomes king, Asa becomes king of Judah, and Jeroboam's 20th year of reign over Israel. So just something to think about. Basically, Jeroboam has already outlived two of these kings of Judah during this time, and then he'll reign for roughly a year or two more. But we see here when it talks about Asa, the verses tell us that he's going to reign for 41 years. So he has 41 years that he's going to reign. Land was undisturbed. And we saw that the land was undisturbed for years. An issue that they run into when it concerns King Baasha. In 14, 1 Kings 15, 14. Or let's jump down to verse 16. It says that now there was war between Asa and Baasha, king of Israel, all their days. And we remember what was going on. Asa was concerned about this. And in 2 Chronicles, let's jump back over to 2 Chronicles. We see that in chapter 16, 2 Chronicles, says in the 36th year of Asa's reign, Baasha, king of Israel, came up against Judah and fortified Ramah in the order to prevent anyone from going out or coming in to Asa, king of Judah. So then we see how Asa is going to address this situation, or what he does. It says that he brought out silver and gold from the treasuries of the house of the Lord and out of the king's house, and he sent them to Ben-Hadad, the king of Aram. And he sends these things saying, let there be a treaty between us. So basically, out of his fear of Baasha, he wants to make this treaty with Ben-Hadad. So Ben-Hadad listened to the king, and he sent armies against the cities of Israel, and they conquered these cities. And when Baasha heard of this, he ceased fortifying Ramah and stopped his work. So this helped King Asa. And then King Asa brought all of Judah, and they carried away the stones of Ramah and its timber in which Baasha had been building up with them, and fortified Geba and Mizpah. At that time, Hananiah the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said to him, because you have relied on the king of Aram and have not relied on the Lord, therefore the army of the king Aram has escaped out of your hand. So we see, because of what he did, and we discussed this a little bit in the last class, instead of trusting in the Lord, and we're going to look, he had reason to trust in the Lord. He's trusted in the Lord in the past, but for some reason, he doesn't do that in this case. He, out of fear, goes to man. And so he asked this king for help for an alliance. And he broke the alliance he had. The king broke the alliance he had with Baasha and helped him out as he had asked. But we see here that it says, because you have relied on the king of Aram and not relied on the Lord God. He should have relied on God and not this man. In verse 8, we're still in 2 Chronicles 16. Verse 8 says, were not the Ethiopians and the Luban an immense army with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because you relied on the Lord, he delivered them out of your hand. So we see a point in time where he did rely on the Lord. And this was, that battle was much bigger. When you look at the comparisons of what it says, as far as how many men were in this. Let's see. Because if you jump back to 2 Chronicles 14, 2 Chronicles 14, it says, excuse me, in 14:9, it says that Zerah the Ethiopian came out against them with an army of 1,000,000 men and 300 chariots. So that's a big army, a huge army. That's, you know, almost double of what he had. And plus the 300 chariots. But that didn't stop Asa. Because at this time, just like we looked at the other example when we looked at Abijam, you know, relying on the Lord provided a way for them to overcome. So in 2 Chronicles 14:11, well, let's go back to 10. It says, so Asa went out to meet him, talking about the king of Ethiopia. And they drew up in battle formation in the valley of Zephathah and Mereshah. Then Asa called to the Lord his God and said, Lord, there is no one besides thee to help in the battle between the powerful and those who have no strength. So he's calling upon the Lord and he's saying, you know, the only way for those of no strength, which he's referring to himself because of the amount of men he has in comparison of what the Ethiopian has. He's calling the Ethiopian the powerful and those who have no strength, so help us. So he's asking the Lord for help. He says, help us, O Lord, our God, for we trust in thee. And we've seen this throughout, that having trust in God, God allows them to prevail. And in thy name have come against this multitude, O Lord, thou art our God. Let not man prevail against thee. So the Lord routed the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. And Asa and the people who were with him pursued them as far as Gerar. And so many Ethiopians fell that they could not recover, for they were shattered before the Lord and before his army. So it refers to them here as the Lord's army, because they trusted in the Lord. And they also carried away very much plunder, so they prospered as well. And it said about Asa back in 1 Kings. It said, because we had mentioned that he was a good king mostly. And 1 Kings 15:14. It does state that, but the high places were not taken away, nevertheless. So it states, nevertheless, the heart of Asa was wholly devoted to the Lord all his days. But we read of these accounts, and I'm not sure what changed in Asa. Now, remember when this was taking place with Baasha, it's about, I believe it was his 36th year of reign out of 41. So he's getting older. He's up in age. I don't know if that is part of it. What all caused this. I mean, because as far as what I've been able to find, it doesn't really say. It doesn't say, but we're going to go on and see how Asa's attitude, if you will, is going to kind of change after this point. Yes, sir, Alex, you had a point? Okay.
You know, your Second Chronicles 16:9 says, "For the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely hid." So maybe that's what Asa failed to do. Maybe he didn't give his full heart to the Lord. Because he did, but I'm just guessing, you know.
Right. Now, I'm aware, but we see, it still says, nevertheless, he was wholly devoted to the Lord. But we see, actually, 5 years or so time period that something's changing. And maybe it is he's being, say, or that's why I mentioned maybe age. I don't know. It doesn't say. Yes, sir. That's in 3. I don't know if you heard, Steve, the comment as far as wholly devoted in 1. So what he's doing here is not idolatry, but he's not trusting. There's something going on in his life where he's changing. Not that there's any reason for that, because we already seen that the Lord has helped him in the past. But then route when it comes in this 36th year, he decides to go a different route asking God. Because like you said, that it was, Alex said, 9 or 6, you know, in, what was that, 1 Chronicles 14:9 or 16:9, that for the eyes of the Lord moved fro and throughout the earth, that only support those whose heart is completely his. So whatever this is, it's in this deed. And then that now there's going to be wars, and for the following years. So I'm not certain what all took place to cause this. We see this change. Any other thoughts or comments or? Yes. Yes. Yeah, because, I mean, when you think of it in that way, I mean, because we all fail. And, but to look at it in that way, that he was trying to sincerely serve Jehovah, even though he had faults. God sees, you know, and God sees what our hearts are. Yes, sir.
Asa responds the opposite.
Well, and like I said, the comment that Steve brought up, this contrast of idolatry, because when you think about it, that's what a lot of this we're talking about. That's the issues that Israel was having, and well, not just them, but so that's what's being contrasted here when it talks about that he was devoted to the Lord. So keeping that with this, it's hard to follow exactly what all is taking place, but we know that from what we saw, he was not trying to follow idols. He was still out. Why he trusted in man at this time, again, I don't know. But so we see, we spoke about 16:9 in 2 Chronicles. Well, the next verse brings up what you had just brought up, Josh. It says, "Then Asa was angry with the seer and put him in prison, for he was enraged at him for this, and oppressed some of the people at the same time." So we see his back in 1 Kings response to these things. And back in in 1 Kings 15:23, we see that it says, "Now the rest of all the acts of Asa and all his might and all that he did and the cities which he built, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah?" And as we stated in past classes, talking about the Chronicles doesn't always mean the book of Chronicles, but in this case, it does state them in the book of Chronicles. But in the time, we see what we're about to look at in this time of his old age, he's some type of disease in his feet. But it doesn't go into a whole lot of detail about what that is. But disease start, what year of his reign was it?
39th year.
Okay, 39th year, and he's only reigning for 41 years. So the last, 2 years or so, he's going to have this disease that he's going to battle with. And in 2 Chronicles, back in 16, in 2 Chronicles, or 16:12, sorry, 16:12, about mid-vert, it states that even in his disease, he did not seek the Lord. Tells decision. So the word tells us this, that he did not seek the Lord, but a physician. So again, back in 1 Kings 15:24, then we see where it states that his father, Asa, slept with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David, his father, in about 870 B.C. So in 1 Kings 15:24, let's turn back over there. Remember, somewhere, and then it's gonna jump back in time, and this is one of those instances. And the reason we have in 15:24, as we read, that Asa dies, and his son Jehoshaphat at his 25, it tends to jump back in time just a little bit. It starts talking about Nadab, and who was the son of Jeroboam, and in B.C. So keep in mind, even though we just read about Asa's death, we're now going to jump now to Nadab, about 40 years. And it says in 25, "Now Nadab of Asa." So we were just talking about Asa. He reigned 41 years and he died. But then it jumps back in time to his second year of reign, because that's when Nadab became king over Israel. Follow it in the way that we see it in the book, you know, in 1 Kings and 2 Kings, and then what we can learn from 2 Chronicles as well. So I kind of kept it in that place. So it's going to, we're going to jump. It kind of leads us in a thought of the kings of, over Israel and then Judah, and then some things about that, maybe succession there in time, and then back time as well. Speaking of time, how are we doing? Okay. So it has to jump back in time as well, and that's what we see here. So we're looking at about 910 B.C. when it's... And again, we're going to see, because it's jumped back in time, so we're going to start seeing some names we've already talked about a little bit, because it's going to have some different details. Now, who conspires against Nadab, the son of Jeroboam? Okay, Baasha, the son of Ahijah. So we see Baasha again. Okay, so Baasha killed him. It says in verse 27, that's 1 Kings 15:27, says, then Baasha, the son of Ahijah of the house of Issachar, conspired against him. That's Nadab. And Baasha struck him down at Gibbethon, laying siege, which belonged to the Philistines, while Nadab and all Israel were laying siege. He killed him in the third year of Asa, king of Judah. Baasha killed him in the third year. Right, okay. He killed him in the third year of Asa, the king of Judah, and then Baasha reigns in his place. That is in the place of Nadab. So we're going to see when we... Because we kind of know the order of these kings, or kind of what years they reigned in Israel, and then the kings of Judah, the years they reigned, and we see how this kind of jumps back and forth, because we're about to get to it, where some sections where you're going to blow through several of them. You know, it just depends on, because we have some periods of time where some of these kings are going to have a very short period of time we're going to see here real shortly. But anyway, so we see that Baasha struck him down, and then now he's going to be king. So he killed him during the third year of Asa, the king of Judah, and he reigned in his place. And now we're still backing up a little bit in time. What year of Asa's reign did Baasha, the son of Ahijah, become... Well, I already answered that. That was in the third year. So if you have that question on your sheet, that was the third year. I've already answered that. And now how long did he reign? How long did Baasha reign? Okay, 24 years. So he reigned for 24 years. Now, the text states that he did something as soon as he became king. What was it that he did? Okay, so he killed the whole house of Jeroboam. He struck down all the household of Jeroboam. And it says that he did not leave to Jeroboam any persons alive until he had destroyed them, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by his servant Ahijah the Shilonite. So we saw that in 29. That's 1 Kings 15:29. So we see that this took place just as the word of the Lord said it would. Verse 30. 1 Kings 15:30, and because of the sins of Jeroboam, which he sinned, in which he made Israel sin because of his provocation with which he provoked the Lord God of Israel to anger. And then this ends Jeroboam's dynasty, as the Lord said that it would take place. If you remember back in 1 Kings 11:38, it was made obedient to God, then God would not be with him. He promised him this enduring house or this dynasty, but he wasn't obedient to God. According to the word of the Lord, as it states in verse 29 of 1 Kings 15, Jeroboam, any persons alive all of his house was destroyed. So it took care of all of that. And in verse 34, it talked about him, that he did evil in the sight of the Lord and walked in the way of Jeroboam and in the sin which he had made Israel sin. And remember, we just spoke about that when we were talking about this idea of their fathers. So it says that he walked in the way of Jeroboam. Now, I didn't state his father Jeroboam, but that's kind of some of the idea. You will see statements like that. But this was his father. Which one am I on? Keep jumping back and forth on Kings here. Yes. So just keep that in mind. I see Craig's buzzing me. So thank you for your attention. And I do have more material I put out there. I put lesson 4 out in the back. If we run out, don't worry about it. I'm about to make more copies. Well, I made copies. I'm about to staple them and put more out there. So thank you again for your attention.